Get the schus to be back together. I want to, as always, thank the Shriers for opening up their bias for Torah. It's always a special schus to be here. And Mir Tashem, all the Torah, and should be a schus for their beautiful mishpacha. But tonight especially, the Torah we learn, all the Torah and all the Chizik and Azorus is being sponsored and should be Lilei Nishmas, their grandmother, Sarit and Eliza's grandmother, whose Yortzeit is coming up, Mir Tashem, on Purim. So Mir Tashem, her Neshama should have an Aliyah, she'd be a Mamish Melita Yosha for the whole entire family. Gittel Mindel Bas Avram. Be big Lilei Nishmas, Bez Hashem is Baruch. Also, all the Torah tonight should also be, we should have in mind, for Refuah Shleima, for a man who needs a big Refuah, Chaim Velvel, and Esther Malka, Refuah Shleima, Soch Shar Chol Yisrael. Before we begin, I want to also just wish a very special Mazel Tov to Margalit.
Yes.
Margalit. Margalit Selig, a very special member of the Chevra of Ashir. I've had this list to be close to for a long time. It's a big, big Simcha. Mir Tashem, Yishvi Zoichah, to build a Bayis Nam Yisrael, Mali Simcha, Mali Bracha. The Simcha you feel should only continue to grow, Bezat Hashem. Mir Tashem, only Simchas by everybody. Your Chazal teach us, Mi Talmidai Yoser Mikulam, that a Rebbe learns from their students, from Talmidim, Talmidot, more than anybody else. Earlier in the week, I think it was earlier, I have my days a little bit mixed up, I'm not really, just here, I got back this early this morning from Eretz Yisrael. So I think it was earlier this week, I don't think it was last week. I sent out on the chat that I was going to Eretz Yisrael, and if anyone would like to send me some names to daven for anything, it'll be a schus. I feel a schus to be able to go back to Eretz Yisrael. And I have to go as a shliach for the people I'm close to and try to daven for everybody. Not that my davening is any more special than any of yours, but to be zoicha to be in such a special place and to be in the holiest of places. So hopefully just the Kedushas HaMakom would have an effect on the tefillahs, Bezat Hashem Yisbarach. And hopefully it did. I had the schus to daven for each and every one of you. And each and every one of you that sent in names to daven for all different types of things. The daven for each and every one by the Kaisel Maravi and Mir Tashem, the tefillah should be Makayim, Makabel, Bekar of Mamish. But when I say Metalmida Yosem Ekulam, I'll tell you, I had just tremendous chizik. I was sitting and reading through and davening for the different people that were sent in. In two specific ways, I had an unbelievable chizik. First of all, how many of you sent in names for other people, whether it be friends, whether it be siblings, and at times, even leaving out yourselves. There were a few different people that asked to daven for different things, for friends and family members. And then I wrote back, and what about your own name? And then they finally would give it in. And that happened a number of times. And it was such chizik to see young women, Nashim Tzikarios, who are not even caring about themselves, who just want other people to be besimcha and other people to have Geulos and Yeshuos and all the different ways that were asked for. That was just, for me, personal, unbelievable chizik, and I grew a lot from that. And additionally, it was amazing. So when I sent out the text, obviously I was looking for those girls who want to give names to daven for Shiduchim and daven for if there are people and families that need Refuos and Yeshuos. But how many young women, how many Nashim Tzikania sent in names and just in general to daven for Ruchnius? To daven for a number of dveikis l'Hashem, to feel dveikis l'Hashem. And it was, to me, such amazing kesorah, such amazing chizik, to see those who are understanding what's important in life, and want not just gashmias dik bracha, but ruchnias dik bracha, and to feel close to Hashem always, like we all should, and to understand that it's important to daven for that as well, and have siyata d'shmaya in that. And I'm just saying personally, it was amazing schus, and I thank each and every one of you for that. So I had the schus to be in Eretz Yisrael the last few days. I'm going to have the schus today to share Torah that I learned in Eretz Yisrael. So this is, even those who weren't in Eretz Yisrael the last few days, it's Torah's Eretz Yisrael. So it's a shtickle of the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. And you know, it's amazing, just I think it was about 2 weeks ago when we were last together, we gave over Torah about how to keep Eretz Yisrael with us, because a lot of us were in Eretz Yisrael about a month ago, myself as well. And it was very, very special. And we spoke last time together about how to keep that chizik and how to keep the kedusha with us in a certain sense. And the truth is, everything we said the last time we were together, and everything we said when we learned together in Alex's apartment, all that was MS about how to keep kedusha and ruchnius here in America. But the truth is, I had the schlitz to just be there. And let's be real, it's a lot easier in Eretz Yisrael. It's a lot easier to feel close to Rabbeinu Shlomo in Eretz Yisrael. It's a lot easier to daven in Eretz Yisrael. It's a lot easier to stay connected to Rabbeinu Shlomo throughout the day in Eretz Yisrael. And it's like you don't even have to necessarily try. It's just basics. It's like you just arrive, you get off the plane, and you feel more connected. And that's where all of us have to go to Eretz Yisrael and live in Eretz Yisrael, and hopefully Karav Mamish B'mehev Rimeinu will be Zoich of Mashiach. And before that, if not, hopefully whoever can should just get there. But the emphasis I was thinking about the last few days, it's really getting back to basics. It's like, it just is. And when I was thinking about that, I was thinking when it comes to Purim as well, maybe we just have to get back to some basics. What I mean by that is, on Purim, there's so many deep Torahs we could learn about, so much we could discuss. And there's so much here for this one very special day of the year that maybe tonight we have to just get back to basics. Just like you walk the streets of Eretz Yisrael and it's basics that you're close to Hashem. Let's just get back to basics. What do I mean by that? There's just one basic theme of Purim. It's probably the most important theme in the world. It's probably the most important yesod in the world as being a Jew. And that is, very simply, yet very deep, that the Rabbeinu Shlom is in our lives always. The Rabbeinu Shlom is by our side always. And whether it's clear, like it was for myself the last few days, standing by the Kaisel, standing by Kever Rachel last night. It's crazy to say, you know, we're here, like literally last night, I was by Kever Rachel for a beautiful Shavuot Brachos. For a very close Talmud, Shmuley Bracher. It was Chasna, was the night before, that's why I was in Eretz Yisrael. Or standing by the Kaisel, or whatever it might be. It's simple. The simple idea of Purim, which at the same time is so deep, is to recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in our lives always. And that's the whole message. Even though on the exterior, we all know the story of Purim, it looks like God is very hidden. We read through the whole time of Megillas Esther, we don't find the mention of Hashem one time even. Yet we know He's there the entire time. And even in the darkest of hours, and even when everything seems so bleak, the Rabbeinu Shlom's there, guiding, orchestrating. And by the end, we're able to look back and recognize it the whole time and see how everything comes together. But the message is not to only be able to see it in the end, but to see it every moment of our lives. You know, the Gemara says, "Akorei at Megillah lemafreya, lo yatsa." If you read the Megillah out of order, you're not yotze. In a deeper way, what that means is as follows. What it means, Lemafreya really means retroactively. You know, when you get to the end, then you can look back at the beginning. So when you get to the end, sometimes in life, and something's going on, and then at the end, you can look back at the beginning and understand much better. That's what Lemafreya means, retroactively. Hakori Lemafreya, lo yatsa, meaning, yes, by the Megillah, at the end, we recognize and we can look back and see how everything was Yad Hashem. But if that's how you're living your life, meaning only if you look retroactively, lo yatsa. I mean, the avodah of every Jew is, even in the moment, even when it seems so difficult, even when things are not so great, even in that moment, not to wait to be able to see it in the end. The avodah of every Jew and the message of Purim, for each and every one of us, and the basics of Purim. Not really, it's really just the basics of Purim. It's just to recognize Hashem is by our side every moment, in the best of times and in the more difficult of times. And it's with that emunah that we have to live our lives. And if we have that, we have everything. And if we don't have that, it's a struggle. Life is difficult. But that's what Purim is. That's why Purim is so hailing and so special. And that's what we need to understand. You know, Halak b'nei Yisachar explains, he says in Purim, Purim has a shtickle part of every single yontif in it. Meaning when you live Purim, you could mamish have every yontif. Every yontif. But me and Purim, we mamish live that. We're blowing shofar on Purim, we're mamish, we're having Yom Kippur davening on Purim, we have fire for Lag BaOmer, everything goes down on Purim, right? Because the Bnei Yisachar says you have to, every Purim has every single yontif. Okay, you don't understand fully, but I'm even yavin. L'maisa, the Bnei Yisachar says you have every single yontif in Purim. What's pshat? You have every yontif in Purim. So he says, Pesach, what's the yontif of Pesach? Me'avdus l'cheres. From slavery to freedom. Purim was also. We're avadim to Haman. We're under his rule. And we finally had cheres, we had geula. Shavuos is Matan Torah. Shavuos is Matan Torah, the giving, the gaining, the Kabbalah Torah. The Gemara in Shabbos, Peches, says that by Purim, Kimo Mashikib Lukvar, we reaccepted the Torah from Ava, from love. So we had a Kabbalah Torah, just like Shavuos. Rosh Hashanah is a time of judgment. Nidon, here also we were judged on the Gzera of Haman, and ultimately a Gzera that came to Geula, there was judgment. Yom Kippur is a Zman of Mechila. We had to be forgiven on Purim as well, that we went to the Suda of Achashverosh and partook in that Suda. Achashverosh at that Suda was celebrating destruction of Beis HaMikdash. He was celebrating that 70 years passed and the Nevuah was there will be a new Beis HaMikdash, and he thought 70 years were up and there's going to be no new Beis HaMikdash, and he was celebrating that we're wrong and there's not going to be another Beis HaMikdash, and he was wearing the Bigdei Kuhuna and he was having the, and he had Kalim of the Beis HaMikdash, and we went to that party. A Bizayon. And that's why everything happened with Haman. So we needed Mechila. We had Mechila. That's Yom Kippur. Sukkot is a little more difficult, but Sukkot, he says, Sukkot is the Yad of Hanane HaKavod. To be under the wings of the Shechina, basically. To be underneath, within the Hanane HaKavod, in the cloud of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And by the end of Purim, we know, based on the Pasuk, it says, Rabim is Yadim. There were a lot of Gerim, a lot that came under the wings of the Shechina. So that also happened on Purim. So we see the Bnei Yisachar says basically Purim is a compilation of every single yontif. Why? What's pshat? What's the deeper sense of that? What's the deeper meaning behind that? What is every yontif? Every yontif, we also call yontif a mayed. A mayed. What does mayed mean? We have the word oyhal mayed and right by the base of Migdash, the oyhal mayed. And every yontif is mayed, and ma'adim l'simcha, right? What does the word mayed mean? It means, we translate it holiday, but what else does the word Moed mean? It means a greeting place. To greet. To meet up. Because every Yantav, every Moed is a time to meet up with Hashem. What do we do on Yantav? We're Ola Regel. We go up to the base of Migdash. It's a time where it's more clear, it's easier to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In these great times of a Yantav, when we're celebrating Geulas Mitzrayim, we're celebrating the Kabbalah Torah, it's easier to be close to Hashem and to meet up with Hashem on a Yantav than on a mundane regular day. But Purim is a compilation of all of them, it's a synthesis of all the Yantav. Why? Because on Purim we learn that we don't need a Yantav to meet up with Hashem. On Purim we learn that we could have a Moed with HaKadosh Baruch Hu every moment, even when it seems so hidden, even when it seems mundane, even when it's not so clear I could be with Hashem. I have to live with Hashem by my side every moment. That's the Halo Yantav of Purim that we're about to enter into. And that's what we have to have in our lives always. That's why, by the way, there's also no Isser Malacha on Purim. Isser Melacha is for other Yom Tovim. We're celebrating a relationship that's Lamala Minatava, supernatural, a Nes Gula, a revealed miracle that Hashem did for us. The Ten Makos, taking us out of Mitzrayim, Matan Torah, all the amazing miracles of Matan Torah. Purim was Nisan Nistarim, was all Bederach Teva, was in a natural way. The whole story happened. So why should we have an Isser Melacha? We want a natural, regular day. And say, but I'm still close to Hashem. I'm driving, and I'm eating and drinking, having a normal day. But I still could be close to Hashem. I could be close to Hashem every moment of my life. That's the avod of a yid. That's a Purim dik yid. That's why it is that Purim is Gematria 336. In the Jewish calendar of the Levana of the moon, there are 354 days. Of those 354 days, 18 days are Moedim, are Yom Tov. Midaraisa on a Torah level, right? There's Sukkot is 7 days, plus Shemini Atzeres is an eighth. There's 7 days of Pesach, that's 15. Rosh Hashanah is considered one long day, Yom HaRichta, that's 16. Yom Kippur is 1 day, 17. Shavuos is 1 day, 18. 18 days of Yom Tov Midaraisa. 354 days of the Jewish calendar minus the 18 days that are Yom Tov is what? 336. Exactly, Gematria Purim. Because Purim is there to tell you, I don't need a Yom Tov, I don't need a Moedim to be close to Hashem. All 336 regular days I'm close to Hashem. I always could be close to Hashem. Every single moment. And we all need to live this. To feel Hashem in my life every moment. To know He's by my side every moment. To know that He's literally orchestrating every moment of my life, and it's all going to end good. And if something that I thought should happen and didn't, it's because it wasn't supposed to happen. And we have to believe that. Whatever the situation is. Had a young woman come meet with me today. Young woman met with me today, who about, I think it was about a year ago, maybe it was longer than that, met with me literally crying to me. What was she crying me about? Over a year ago, she was crying to me, number one, she was having a very difficult time in Shiduchim. And number two, she really had nothing going on in her life. She didn't have a job, she wasn't productive, she just felt like miserable. Today she came to meet with me, she has a job, and she's about to get engaged, Bezer Hashem is Baruch. And Mamash, the biggest smile in the world. And so many things happened over that time, and she were constantly in touch and about different things going on in her life, whatever it was, that seemed so down. It seemed like her whole life was in shambles. And Mamash, terrifying. This is the biggest simcha in the world. And it was all meant for this. And it was all meant to be orchestrated in this way. And yes, sometimes it's hard. Of course, now we could look back, Lema Freya, and say, okay, it was all meant to be, it's all good. But the avodah of a yid is to learn from a Megillas Esther and not have to wait till the end to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To live it every moment. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is by our side always. There was a Talmud in the Vardik. And it was a Talmud in the Vardik. Very, very poor. Him and his wife were very, very poor. Mamish, they had one suda a day, one meal a day, and all they had every day was some bread and butter. We can't imagine this, but that's how it was generations ago. All they had bread and butter. And he would learn all day and come home, when he finished learning, him and his wife would sit down, and their suda every day, bread and butter. So one day before he came home, his wife is preparing, knows every day, coming home and prepares the bread and butter and already puts the butter on, got it ready, didn't smear it, just put it on his bread and put her bread in different seats, and it was different places. And a cat came in, and Mamish licked up and ate her husband's butter. Ate the butter off the bread. And she felt terrible. And her husband comes in, and she says, I'm so sorry, Mamish, a cat just came out of nowhere. Again, you have to imagine what their houses were like. There were probably holes throughout, all over the place, and came in from the street, and the cat came, and I'm so sorry, I ate your butter. So the husband says, the cat didn't eat my butter. That wasn't my butter that the cat ate. So she's thinking, what do you mean that he's saying that it was her butter, you know? And she says, no, that's not my butter. You know my bread, it's always here. Look, my butter's here. And she starts to tell him, no, I'm not giving you my butter. It's my butter. It was your butter that the cat ate. It was your butter. Look where your bread is. I didn't move it. And her husband says, no, that's not what I meant. If the cat came and ate the butter, then that wasn't my butter, and it wasn't your butter. The Ribbono Shel Olam knew that was the cat's butter. It was never supposed to be my butter. It's okay. It's very simple, but so deep. Here's a yid that understands and gets it, and understands that everything that's going on in the world is Hashgacha Pratis. And that butter was never meant for him. It was never meant for him. That butter was meant for the cat, for whatever reason. And we have to understand that, and we have to live this. And we have to live on a level where we're so one with Hashem that He's by my side every moment. We have that at times. The avodah is to have it always. Let me tell you where I felt this so strongly the other day. So 2 days ago. Out of all the days, it's like one. Yeah, I'm supposed to be in Eretz Yisrael for 3 days, but like when you're in Eretz Yisrael and you don't really sleep much and fly, it's like a little bit of a blur. All the days are like one long day. 2 days ago, Tuesday afternoon. So Tuesday afternoon, I decided. This trip, I took a little emes. I took a little more time for myself just to connect to Rabban Hashem and more ruchnius. I had the schus to be in Eretz Yisrael a month ago. That went around to Talmidim, to the yeshivas, and spent all the time in that way. This trip, I spent a lot of time with yeshivas, with Talmidim and a couple of yeshivas, but I really tried to take more time for myself and to sit and learn, sit and daven. So Tuesday afternoon, I had a couple hours, and I wanted to just sit and learn. So when I'm in the Old City and I want to sit and learn, I go always to this yeshiva, Shuvu Banim. Shuvu Banim is a Breslov yeshiva in the Muslim quarter. A few minutes into the Muslim quarter, not far from the Kaisel, just in over there at the bottom of the steps by Netivarya. That's where the roof is, where the picture on the chat. I don't remember who put that there or what it was, but Lamaisa, it was probably Danielle, I don't know, back in the day. But who was it, Jennifer? What did you say? I don't know. But whoever it was it you? Was it you?
I think it was
me. Was it me?
I thought you did it.
No, I definitely didn't. I would not put any picture of myself. No, definitely not. I spoke about it once and someone took it. I don't remember who put
it.
Sent
it to the chat after you spoke about it.
Or maybe I sent it to the chat. Someone, I didn't make it the thing. Anyways, Lamaisa. That's where that makom where I always go, my favorite place in the world, like literally overlooking Har HaBayis, directly opposite Har HaBayis, is the roof of this yeshiva. But I go, Lamais, I know that's a place, nobody's going to know me, I know nobody. I can literally sit and learn and not be bothered, turn off my phone, 2 hours, whatever I want to do. So I go to this yeshiva. So Tuesday afternoon I go there, and I knew this, I was there at this time before, this time of the day, but I forgot about it. Such a beautiful minog they have there. The beginning of afternoon Seder, 3 o'clock, when afternoon second Seder of learning starts, they don't just, all yeshivas, so second Seder starts, I've been sitting down learning, right? They start the Seder with a tant. The dance, 15-minute dance, every day, every day. Not to celebrate a simcha, not to celebrate Ichves de Shechasen or Purim, I don't know. Every day, 15-minute dance, mommy, with a keyboard and a guy playing flute. Like, I can't make the. I have a video I can show you after. Mamish, like, with a speaker system, dancing around the base of Medrash. And the idea, it's so beautiful. It's mamish, like, to show the simcha of being a yid. We have the schus to learn Torah, we have the schus to daven, we have the schus to be a yid. And the dancing! Every day! Every day! So, of course, I join in the dance. It's really awesome. So beautiful. But I'm looking around during this dance. And I'm looking at the people in the room. And it was like every type of Jew you could imagine. I mean, it's a Breslov yeshiva, it's a lot of Breslov chassidim, but other people find their ways there. But I could tell, you could tell looking at the people, that definitely there were people with like a lot of issues going on in their life. First of all, many of them at that day, not well off at all. You see guys, men with like torn clothing and just looking at people, you could tell when someone has a heavy load going on in their life and a lot going on there. But at the same time, during that dance, for those 15 minutes, kulo simcha, like incredible happiness. You know what it's like, and I'll get back to this moment, you know, we've all had this chus to be bechasanas. And when you're at a chasana, everybody's dancing together and everyone's besimcha. And there could be people that like hours earlier were crying about some terrible thing that they have the right to, but at the simcha, everything else is just to the side and we're just besimcha for the chasana, for the kala, and we're all together besimcha. And yeah, it could be that there are people in that room with have serious things that are going on in their life and people in their families that are not well and serious trials and tribulations, but for those moments, we're all besimcha. We're all besimcha. And that's what it was like. I'm just dancing around that base medrash. Everyone's besimcha. And it finally hit me the following. You know, there's that crazy line on Purim to understand, and we're not going to get into the mitzvah itself today, but Chayiv Inish L'Psumei B'Purya Ad Lo Yada Ben Baruch Mordechai L'Haman. that every person's obligated to get drunk on Purim until they don't know the difference between Baruch Mordechai and Haraman. And we'll leave to the side getting drunk for now. I'm not going to get into that Indian right now. But to reach a level that you don't know the difference between Baruch Mordechai and Haraman, isn't that so strange? Chas v'shalom, what? I should say Baruch Haman? God forbid I should say Arur Mordechai? That's really what the Rabbanu Shalom wants? Cursed is Mordechai? Blessed is Haman? We should reach... That's the level to reach on Purim. That's awesome. That's ridiculous. That's crazy. That I should be so drunk that I should say such a thing? That's what the Eibishter wants? Chas v'shalom, God forbid, of course not. Maybe it hit me, Mom is dancing in that room. When you're at that state of Simcha, when you're at that state, when you're just happy and joyful and everything's going well, for those, even those few moments, there's nobody thinking about the bracha in their life, there's no one thinking about the aror in their life. It's just all good. Because I'm just with Hashem, and I'm with the moment, and I'm not thinking about anything else. And on Purim, we're supposed to reach such a level, Ad lo yada ben Baruch Mordechai lar Haman, meaning Baruch Mordechai represents bracha, all that's good in my life. Aror Haman is klala, or curses, or things that are not good in my life, and some of that is very real. But Ad lo yada ben Baruch Mordechai lar Haman means I should reach a level, I don't know the difference, I'm not thinking about that. It's not pulling me down, it's not even bringing me up. I'm not happy because of the simcha in my life, and I'm not down because of the difficulties in my life. I'm always just good, you know why? Because I'm walking with God, and it's awesome. And life is great. Because I know that I have a purpose and I have meaning and there are bonus ones by my side. And anything goes down, that's what's supposed to be happening. And yeah, there are times in my life where I felt that. In the sense, because of what was going on in my life, because of the simcha of the moment. But and it's a very high level, don't get me wrong. But to reach such a level where I'm so one with Hashem, because I know Hashem's here every moment. So it doesn't matter if I have my butter or I don't have my butter. It's all good. That's what it was supposed to be. And I could live such a perfect life, always. It's an amazing Gemara. It's very strange on the surface. Esther Amalka says to Mordechai, wants to understand, L'das mazel maza. After Haman comes out with his decree, and Esther's trying to understand what's going on with the destruction of the Jews, and sends Hasach, who's Daniel, back and forth to find out what's going on. Why is this happening? Mordechai was the God of Adar. Maza v'al maza. What is this and what is this? So the Gemara says it's an allusion to the following. Maza v'al maza. Amar of Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak says, Sholchalo, she sent him the following. Shemar avru Yisrael chamishichum shetorah. Maybe this is happening because we've been over on the chamishichum shetorah. We're not keeping Torah properly. Tichsiv behen, it said about the Torah, Mizeh u'mizeh heim ksuvim. The Torah, talking about the Luchos, it says they were written Mizeh u'mizeh, from both sides. The Luchos were penetrated through and through. You could see it from both sides. So Mizeh u'mizeh is the illusion of Mazeh v'al mazeh, meaning maybe this is all happening because we're going against the Torah, which it says Mizeh u'mizeh. Maybe that's why this decree is here. That's what the Gemara says. That's what we want to allude to in the Torah, meaning, Esther Amalka is really asking a little bit, Pederach Remez, maybe that we're being decreed to be destroyed because we're going against the Torah. So how should we want to allude to the Torah? Why specifically to the fact that the Luchos, which definitely represent the Torah, were written through and through from both sides? Why is that the allusion? So I saw from Rav Melech Biederman, in a Sefer on Purim, he says, we know there's a Gemara in Shabbos, he says it was an amazing miracle, that the Luchos were not just penetrated through, but you could read it the proper way, both ways. Right? So the letters on the Luchos, Anoich Hashem Elokecha, the Aleph, so even if you think if it would penetrate through to the other side, if it was carved through to the other side, so when you're looking at straight, it would be the proper way, but from the other side, it should be backwards, right? That's what would be normal. But there's an amazing miracle, which we can't even understand, but this was the miracle, that either way you looked at the Luchos, from front or from back, even though the letters penetrated through, you would read it the proper way. You'd read it straight. It wasn't backwards. Chassam Sofer says, you know what we learned from this? We learned from this that in all situations, whatever our situation is life, whether things are going great or not so great, we have to stay connected to the Torah and be one with Hashem in the same way and know that Hashem is running the world. And therefore, if it's from front or from back, which represents the good times and the bad, it's all one. It's all the same. There is no backwards. There is no bad. It's all Yad Hashem. Everything's the hand of God. And that's specifically what Esther here is alluding to, because that's the message of Purim, to remind us of that Yisod. That all is Ribbono Shalom. And we have to remember that. And that's the lesson of Purim, to see beyond the surface. And to know, even if I don't understand it, there's God hidden behind this. And it's all going to be okay, and it's not going to be, it already is okay. Even though I don't understand it. Even though I don't understand it. There are two big tzaddikim that told us Yaakov Yosef. And Rav Nachman Meardnika. Rav Nachman and the Toldos Yaakov Yosef were close friends. Big Talmidim of the Besht, of the Baal Shem Tov. A lot of the Torah that we have from the Baal Shem Tov is from the Sefer Toldos Yaakov Yosef. I had this chus many years ago to be by his kever with your brother. Many years ago. It's very, very special, but Toldos Yaakov Yosef in Palonoy in Ukraine. And then to the Besht also, Mezvish. So Rav Nachman and the Toldos Yaakov Yosef, they were going to their Rebbe, the Baal Shem Tov, for Shabbos Kodesh. They were traveling in, it was an hour or two travel, more, by bus it was. They were going by wagon and horses, whatever the travel was, a few hours. So they wanted to get there early, so they left early in the day. They wanted to get there a few hours before Shabbos, do proper hachana for Shabbos, preparation for Shabbos. And apparently on the regular main road, on the way that you take the main road to the Baal Shem Tov, the Mezvish, there was a lot of traffic. A lot of horse and buggies. So they went off to a side road to be able to beat the traffic. Nothing changes. We're always trying to still beat traffic, right? Nothing changes. This is the 1700s in Ukraine. 300 years later, we're doing the same thing, let's be real. Now we just have Waze to guide us a little bit, take us, and we trust Waze to take us on the craziest of roads. Then they just did it on their own. So they take one of these side roads, and they're going, and they're moving quickly, and they're like all excited, good, we're going to get there early. And suddenly, right in front of them comes off like another road, a horse and buggy, but I guess it was some simon on it, whatever. It was one of the big officers from the king. One of the, some government official. And the law of the land was, you're never allowed to pass to go in front of the government official, if he's in front of you in his horse and buggy. And he was going very slowly. And now they got on the side road, but suddenly they're going so slow again, because they're stuck behind this guy. And a few blocks, and they're like, oh my gosh, what's going to be? Shabbos Kodesh. They're very upset about it, very down about it. Then suddenly, on this side of the road, they were going through different towns, and they hit this massive marketplace. Mamash, a massive market. And in the market, there's tons of just vendors and stores and people selling things, and there are hundreds and hundreds and thousands of people everywhere. And mamash, they get to that market, like the road is blocked by all the people. But everybody saw this government official. So they all went to the sides, and they all made room for the government official to get through, for the tsar, for this officer. And because they were right behind the government official, they got to get through right behind him and pass through the marketplace. And they all passed through the marketplace, and right when they passed through the marketplace, literally right after the marketplace, the official turned to the right where they had to go to the left. And mamish them very, very quickly for the rest. They got straight to Mezvish and were there very early. And Tolz Yaakov Yosef and Rav Nachman, they said to each other, you see, we were all upset when we're stuck behind this tsar. We're stuck behind this officer. The Eibishter sent him to us to get us through the marketplace, to help us out, to get Shabbos Kodesh early in Mezvish. So in the moment we didn't see it and we got upset. And now, l'mafreya, I could see it. But akori l'megillah, l'mafreya lo yatsa. The avoda through all the Torah of the Megillah of Purim is to not just have to live it and see the end and go back, but let's start to understand it in the moment. Let's start to feel it in the moment. Let's start to be one with Hashem every moment of our life. And we'll live a Purimdik life every moment, b'simcha. There's a Gemara in Chagiga, Daf Hey Amud Aleph. The Gemara says as follows. Listen, one line. Kol she'eino behester panim, eino mehem. Anyone who's not part of Hester Panim is not part of Klal Yisrael. Now Hester Panim, just to explain, Hester Panim literally means the hidden nature of God's face, which is so much what Purim is. Purim is all Hester. That's why Esther's named Esther. Our avodah is to see in the hidden, the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's why it's Megillas Esther. People think it means Megillas Esther means the Megillah, the scroll of Esther, but Megillah also means Megaleh, to reveal. Esther is Hester, which is hidden. Megillas Esther, we have to reveal that which is hidden. We have to see Hashem in everything that is hidden. So Hester Panim is the hidden nature of Hashem. When things are difficult, when things are not so clear, when life is challenging, when I'm going through a tzara, something painful. So Pasha Pshat in the Gemara, Kol She'eino Behester Panim, Eino Mehem. Meaning the emes is, Klal Yisrael is Klal Yisrael, so we have difficulties, we have galus, we have tzaras, we have times that are hard. And if you're not having times that are hard, you're probably not part of Klal Yisrael. That's Pasha Pshat, that's what most people learn the Gemara. That's part of what it is to be part of Klal Yisrael. There are going to be Yisurim, there are going to be difficulties. But the Beis Aaron says as follows, listen to the Beis Aaron. He learns it a little differently. Listen to how he translates the Gemara. He says, Mi she'eino roa behester. Someone who's not able to see in difficult times, panim, meaning he pauses, not mi she'eino behester panim. Someone who's not part of the difficulty, not part of Klal Yisrael. He says, Mi she'eino behester. Someone who in difficult times is not able to see, panim, not still see the face of Hashem. Eino mehem is not part of them, is not part of Klal Yisrael. Meaning what? The avod of every Jew is even behester to see the panim of Hashem. To see that Hashem is here. To see that Hashem is by our side. To understand that the Eibishter is watching over us every moment. And kol ma'adav erchman al tavavid. Everything Hashem does is for good. And even if this young Jewish girl, this beautiful Jewish girl, is being raped by a goyish or king, it's ultimately to save all of Klal Yisrael. So in the moment, it seems terrible, like there can't be a bigger tzara. But ultimately we learn in the end, it was the biggest geula. But the lesson to us is not to have to see it always in the end, but always in the moment as well, go through life with Hashem by our side. Go through life understanding that Hashem is with me, always. And then life is good. Life is good no matter what, because I trust Hashem is by my side. You know, lo aleinu, if a person has to have a surgery done, a serious surgery. So a person never goes to just stop the first doctor they find in the phone book. You go and you do research and you ask people, I want to go to the best doctor, the top doctor, lo aleinu, someone has cancer, lo aleinu. You're not just going to stomp the first doctor you could find. You're going and asking people who, you find out who went through similar things and what doctor to use, who's an expert doctor, a bucky, right? Why? Because sakonis nefashos, your life is in danger. You're going to go only to an expert. This morning I flew on El Al. I came back on a plane to America. Now when I was up in Shemayim over there, so I was bisakana, right? It's dangerous. But I had a pilot flying the plane. I don't know if any of us in this room ever checked into the credentials of any pilot. Anyone ever go and find out how many stars the pilot has and what's his ratings and what's going on? Some for some reason, blind faith when it comes to flying in an airplane. Even though the same way, my life is at risk. Mamish, if it's not a good pilot, I could be, right? But if I go to a doctor, I'm going to do all different types of crazy research. What's the difference? So I saw this by Rav Melech Biederman as well. He says, the difference is as follows. When you go to a doctor, it's only your life at risk. It's not the doctor's life at risk. So it's only your life at risk. So you have to, every doctor wants to try to do a refuah and try their best, but you want to, they're not with you in that pain. They're not with you in that situation. So you don't have the trust unless you went and did all the research that you know they're an expert doctor. But when you're up in heavens in that airplane, just like you could risk your life, the pilot is also risking their life. The pilot is in the same predicament you're in. Is one with you, and therefore there's bitachon that they're going to take care of you and it's all going to be good. We have to understand the Eibishter is by our side every moment. The Eibishter is with us every moment. He's not our doctor, he's our pilot. In difficult times, and at good times, he's by our side. He's always with us. So it's all good, I can rely on him. I gotta just be Soymech on the Rabbanu Shalom always. And it's all gonna be good and all is good. And that's how we have to understand. Even when we do things in life, we don't see the production from it, we don't know what's going on, we don't see why things are happening. The Eibishter takes care, we do our part, everything's gonna be okay. Let me end with a story my father just told me. My father said he read this story recently, I think it was in Mishpacha magazine, he said, years ago, in the early origins of the state of Israel, so there are terrible things going on in the following way, that the government, who, lo aleinu, unfortunately, were full of chilonim, who were trying to persuade and convince, and really in terrible ways, many from Jews, specifically from Jews of Sephardi descent, who were coming into Israel, and they would come in with the chvesnes and their children with long payas and with the look of a yid, and they threw a lot of them into these different types of camps and places and convinced them that it's not the way we dress here, that's not the way we look here, and we don't need this anymore, we're in the state of Israel, we don't need Yiddishkeit anymore, we don't need Orthodoxy anymore, and specifically the kids, and Mamish did terrible things to Ruchnius. So the Chazon Ish, the Gadol HaDor and Bnei Brak, the Chazon Ish. So he did everything he could to try to teach these Yidden that that's not true and that's not the way and that's not MS. And one time he heard about some of these Jews that were in some camp somewhere and he wanted to go try to mechazik them, give them some chizik. So he sent two of his Talmidim to the camp to be mashbiyah on them, to talk to them, to teach them that what they're being told by the people is not true. And these people went, the two Talmidim of the Chazon Ish went, and they got to the camp, and they tried to get in, and they had guards who wouldn't let them in, no matter what, because the guards knew what they were going to try to do, and they didn't want them in the camp, they didn't want them to try to be mechazik them. And they went around the entire camp. The camp had like fences, but you could see through them. They see the kids, and the kids were looking at them. And they go into every possible opening, and they couldn't get in. They tried for over an hour. Eventually, they just gave up. There was nothing they could do. And they went back to the Chazon Ish, and they said, we tried our best. We really tried hard. We couldn't get in. I'm so sorry. The Chazon Ish, you did all the hishtadlus. You put in the effort. The Eibishter will take care of the rest. Don't worry. You did what you could do. Years and years and years later, one of these two Bachrim, already married with children, with grandchildren, years later, he's invited to a chasana of a neighbor. He's invited to a chasana of a neighbor, and he goes to the chasana. And his neighbor's child marrying some Sephardi girl. And he ends up talking to the Baal Simcha from the other side. I don't remember if it's the father or the grandfather, I don't remember what it was, but the Baal Simcha from the other side. And they're talking, and somehow the Baal Simcha says, I want you to know. Somehow, I don't remember how this came out exactly, but he says, years ago when I came to Eretz Yisrael, I was sent to such and such a camp, and they were telling me how I have to cut off my payas, and telling me how I shouldn't be religious, and that's not the way here. And one day, I'm there in the camp, and I see these two Jewish boys come, and they have long payas, and they have big yarmulkes, and they're outside the camp. And myself and my friends, we saw this as little kids, and we said, you see, it must be there like we thought. They're not telling us the truth. You see, here in Israel, Jews can walk around with payas. And you see, here in Jews in Israel can wear yarmulkes. It must not be true. We're not going to listen to anything they say. And we stayed strong to our Yiddishkeit. And here's the chasana of my child, or grandchild. I don't remember exactly what it was. So here you can see these two bachurim. They thought they went and completely fruitless, and they thought they futile, all that they did, and they thought they put in all this effort and nothing happened, and it wasn't until years later they found out, mamish, they changed the world. They mamish changed the world just by showing up. We have no idea what goes on, we have no idea what's going on. All that we know, we have to do our avodah. All that we know is the Rabbanu Shalom's by our side. The Rabbanu Shalom's watching over. The Rabbanu Shalom's vade watching over when there's Baruch Mordechai, when things are great. Now we're clear. We know it's the Eibishter watching over us. But in the Aror HaMa, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is also by our side. HaKadosh Baruch Hu also. If we understand something, we understand something. We don't understand. The Avodah does not always understand. Ad lo yada. We don't have to understand everything. We have to understand we don't understand. But what we have to know is like what Purim teaches us, and that's just get back to basics. And that is the Rabbanu Shalom's in our life every moment. The Rabbanu Shalom's with us every moment. And let's tanz that tanz of those brez of chasidim with no worries in the world, every moment of our life, knowing the Rabbanu Shalom's by my side. Mirtz Hashem, we'll then have simcha and bracha in our lives always. And Mirtz Hashem, the simcha of Purim that we're going to have will not just be Purim, but just like we said, Purim is 336. It should be a simcha that carries us through the entire year and have these feelings of Adol Yadim Baruch Mordechai L'Arhaman always, and have a life of simcha and bracha every moment of our life. And we should have a freilich and heilig.